I'm Alan Lytle, 91.3 WUKY News. It's time for this week's edition of Dr. Greg Davis on Medicine. A term you may have heard of late is moral distress. What exactly is that? Well, today our host is going to explore this concept with a UK healthcare social worker. That's all just ahead. Abigail Latimer is well acquainted with the concept of moral distress, and she tells Dr. Greg why it might be becoming more prevalent in healthcare settings.
So there are actually over 20 different definitions of moral distress in the literature right now at any given time. It sort of emerged with nursing ethics, and it emerged from a desire to bring in the nursing perspective. So a lot of the ethical dilemmas in the 70s were positioned around the physician. And what people started to notice was it was really the nurse that was a part of those dilemmas, but wasn't really getting any attention or any kind of credit for those things. So Jamieton is sort of credited with being a pioneer of what is moral distress, although there's been so many different scholars since then who have offered their own definition and interpretation. But consistently, it is somebody who feels that they cannot do what they need to do due to some kind of constraint. The prerequisites of it obviously being a moral event, so a moral conflict, a moral dilemma, and then the sort of psychological, as I think Wilkinson had said, psychological disequilibrium that occurs because you can't do what you feel like you need to do.
So you feel as if there's something that you must do for your patient, and yet because of whatever constraints are present, you can't do it. Maybe
yes.
That's an example.
Yes, absolutely. So for, I know, end-of-life care, and this is really where me as a palliative care clinical social worker got into moral distress, was end-of-life care is a huge correlate of moral distress. So they've sort of found that patients who are suffering, nurses will feel a lot of moral distress over the need to protect them from that moral from that suffering, and oftentimes they can't either do because it's just the natural part of the dying process, or because there's maybe some disagreement with the family in terms of goals of care, or maybe they feel like the physician isn't giving them the right information, so they feel like they're being given false hope. So those are all sort of some examples of what moral distress is in real life.
And how is that differentiated from moral injury?
So moral injury is in the psychology literature, and it has come out more recently in the 80s, 90s, I think late 80s, 90s. I'm not as familiar with the moral injury, although I know enough to know theoretically it's different than moral distress. They have started to come up with a measurement of moral injury as well, but it, like I said, that's all brand new, and we're looking into that. It's predominantly with soldiers. So they look at moral injury in terms of, have they been involved in a morally injurious event, meaning they've had to do something that is against their moral code of conduct, but they've had to do it because of their situation, either due to protection or it was an order they had to carry out. There's a lot of work in moral injury about transgressions and being betrayed by leadership, being betrayed by other people in their service branch. So it's similar, but it's different in the sense that moral injury is really based on the DSM-4's PTSD. So it's very symptomatic. It's very pathologized, whereas moral distress remains more situationally focused. So have they had experiences of moral distress in their setting?
And is moral injury also, are there analogs, though, in medicine that are being discussed and in healthcare, or is this primarily at this point more a military type situation?
More military, yeah. Moral injury is definitely more military, whereas moral distress is starting to come out to all healthcare professionals. It's remained in the nursing literature so siloed. I think recently Dr. Hamrick actually has developed a more recent measurement of moral distress that is neutral language so that it can be applied to all healthcare professionals, social workers, respiratory therapists. I think we all experience our own examples of what moral distress is.
And I think this is something you and I discussed just moments ago, is that we really do need to break down these silos of just nursing, just medicine, just social work, because really we're, when taking care of patients, we're in this together.
Yes, absolutely. And I think that's a great role for the social worker, right? We, like mm-hmm. I said, we get people to talk to each other. That's kind mm-hmm. of what we do. And so I feel very much like I'm trying to straddle different worlds of research. And mm-hmm. I'm trying to say, hey, this can be applied here. We should talk to these people and learn from what they're doing. And just trying to bring those pieces together in a way that we can listen and understand, and we don't have to be isolated in our mm-hmm. efforts to do this. We can do it together.
Amongst all your other myriad duties, you are a professional matchmaker in that sense.
Yes, I think that I have that on my CV actually somewhere.
Is there anything else about moral distress that you would want our listeners to know about?
I think where we are with moral distress right now, if I can have my take on it, is I feel like we need to work towards interventions to helping these healthcare professionals deal with it. I don't think that we'll ever be able to get rid of it, right? And I don't think we want to, because we want people to be morally sensitive. We want people to have that moral awareness. We want people to have that moral courage. But we also have to help folks do day-by-day work. And I think for a lot of our folks on the floor, it's hard because they're having a response, a very psychological response, an emotional response, but they still have to perform their duties. So where I see moral distress going, and what I would like to contribute to it, is helping figure out a way to help these folks deal with this so that it's not devastating and they don't leave the profession. Because that's what I think the biggest risk is with moral distress, is that if it's not addressed, if we don't give folks a way to deal with it and to cope with it and to process it, then they eventually leave the profession.
And ultimately not just to survive within our professions, but to thrive there
as well.
To thrive,
yeah. There's a lot of work in moral resiliency, and that is actually a great connection with moral injury. That's how they're dealing with moral injuries and moral resiliency issues. And so there are some folks that are also trying to like pull those worlds together. I think there's lots of ways we can do it, and the research is just starting.
My thanks today to Abby Latimer, UK healthcare social worker, for talking with me about moral distress in healthcare and what can be done about it. For more information, visit our website at wuky.org. With health news you can use, I'm Dr. Greg Davis on Medicine.
Dr. Greg Davis is a forensic pathologist at the University of Kentucky who volunteers his time to cover important medical news for our community. This program is available as a podcast at wuky.org. And for information on becoming an underwriter, contact Gail Bennett at 257-7049.